Well, when I met Yogananda, again, I have to say, I was this sort of arrogant youth that you expect young Americans to be. And although I knew I didn't know anything, still I had the arrogance that somehow I knew more than other people, which probably I did, and forgive me. And my first thought was, when I read Autobiography of a Yogi, it never occurred to me that he had an organization, but I noticed that he had a retreat in Encinitas, and I went there. My first thought was to be accepted there, and when I went and rang the doorbell, a little old lady came out, and I was dressed in all white because I thought that in California, like in Florida, people would wear Palm Beach suits. So there I was dressed in white, and this lady thought I was a serviceman of some kind. She said, "Oh, have you come to see about the water?" And I said, "No, I've come to see Paramahansa Yogananda." I didn't pronounce it right, and she didn't understand me. And so she said, "Well, he's up in Hollywood." Well, my ignorance of California was so abysmal that I thought a church in Hollywood, I thought that was nothing but movie studios. I didn't know it was a whole city. Anyway, she said that you'd have to go see him up there. So I decided I'd go there. And I was very impatient with her, I'm afraid. She was actually Sister Gyanamata, as I discovered later, who was his third most advanced disciple. And a very holy soul. But I was just thinking of her in my youthful impatience as this little kind of lady who gathers around churches, and I just had no use for her. On the bus up toward Los Angeles, I remember thinking of her and remember her eyes. And I thought, those were deep eyes. Maybe I was wrong. And I asked God and my guru's forgiveness for having judged her that way. And as soon as I had that thought, I knew I was accepted. How I knew, I don't know. But I came to the church, and the lady, Mary Hamilton, her name was, and she was the receptionist, and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, but his appointments are booked solid for 2 months." And I thought, I've come all the way from New York to Los Angeles, and only to be told I can't even see him. And I felt very badly about this. And finally, I sort of processed it and decided a novel thought for me. But I thought, well, maybe I'm not ready. And I'll just go up and live in the hills near here and come to the church and wait for my chance to see him. As soon as I had that thought, I was just walking out the door when Mary Hamilton came up and tapped me on the shoulder and said that since you've come from such a distance, I'll ask him if he can see you. Ask Master if he can see you. So I came in, and he did see me. And he said to me that Divine Mother told me I should see you now. And he said, "It was not that you've come from such a distance. A woman came here 2 weeks ago from Sweden, and God didn't tell me to see her, so I didn't see her. But Divine Mother told me to see you." So my first words to him were, "I want to be your disciple." It was a very moving meeting. I was afraid to say anything much because I knew I'd just burst out in tears. And I just inwardly said, "You just have to accept me. You have to." And I was really, if being ready means being desperate, I was ready. Anyway, he talked to me, and he sat there, and I knew he was just reading my life and my past incarnations. And he said, "Well," finally he said, "Well, you have good karma, and I will accept you." He said, "I'm not taking many now, but I'll accept you." And I said, "Oh, sir, you don't have to accept me right away. He said, no, it's all right, I accept you. So he had me kneel in front of him and gave me my vows of a monk and of discipleship. He asked me, he said, I give you my unconditional love. And he said, will you give me your unconditional love? And I said, yes. He said, when my guru gave me his unconditional love and asked me to give me mine, give him mine, I said, but what if you were to fall from the ideal? What if I find you're not God-realized? Sri Yukteswar answered, I don't want your love, it stinks. And I understood when he said that, because I'd had a very doubting nature. I doubted everything. I wanted to challenge everything and make sure it delivered the truth. And so I accepted that unconditional love, if he was willing to give me his unconditional love, then certainly I would give him mine. And he said he asked me also for my unconditional obedience. Desperate as I was to be accepted, I wanted to be truthful. And I said, but sir, what if I think sometimes you're wrong? And he said, I will never ask anything of you that God doesn't tell me to ask. And I said, I thought in that case, yes, I give you my unconditional obedience. Then he had me kneel in front of him, and he put his hand on my heart, and it vibrated for 1 or 2 minutes. But I felt in that meeting that my life was changed. I'd been relieved of many worldly delusions, and I was a different person. And after I came into the church, and there were a couple of the monks there, and he came out onto the platform, I could see he was very pleased. And he said, we have a new brother. So that was the most whirlwind courtship I ever heard of. But he accepted me immediately. And from then I lived, my life was completely changed. My parents, of course, were horrified. And they might, because I had never heard of yoga or reincarnation or guru, or all these words were completely new to me. When I read Autobiography of a Yogi, I wasn't like most people today. I'd never heard of these words. Yoga to me was perhaps yogurt. When I read that book, I just knew. But it would have been difficult for me. And I don't know how well I'd have managed if my parents had been there. My father never accepted my choice. My mother wanted me to be a church person. But I was spared that test, and I think it was God's grace. God's grace came across the country with me. God's grace, Divine Mother's grace, accepted me into the ashram, and I lived very happily ever thereafter. In a couple of weeks, I will have my 60th anniversary of discipleship.